Want to learn more about the Sacrament of Baptism? Well, you came to the right place. That's what we're going to talk about on this episode of the Gary Zimak Show. Stay tuned. It's coming right up. Hey there, what's up? Welcome to the program. My name is Gary Zimak, and it's another week. Today's the Monday edition of the show. I'm back from Dallas. Had a great time at the IHM Homeschooling Conference. Got to meet some great people. Got to share the good news. Who can ask for anything more than that? You know, it's pretty funny. You know that I'm a Philadelphia Eagles fan, right? I grew up in Philly, live right over the bridge from the Philly. I really do live in the Philadelphia suburbs, even though I live in New Jersey. But our big rival team is the Dallas Cowboys. So I figured I'd be able to find some Dallas fans, have a little bit of fun while I was down there. You know what's interesting? I could not find a Dallas Cowboys fan while I was there. Talked to one person, he was a New York Giants fan. Talked to another guy, he said he doesn't really like sports. Talked to somebody else, he's a Pittsburgh Steelers fan. It's unbelievable. And yet on the news I saw a story that the Cowboys fans are rated the number one fans in America. I don't know, but I got a hard time believing it. Here I am expecting to have a little fun with some Cowboys fans, and I couldn't find one. So I still believe there are some Dallas Cowboys fans in the world. I don't know. Maybe they just don't hang around the homeschool circuits. But I had a great time. Got to meet lots of great people. And it's always great to be able to travel and share the good news of Jesus Christ. And it is good news. And, you know, we do have lots of good news on the program today. We're going to begin our look at the sacraments by focusing on the sacrament of baptism. Every Monday, we look at what the church really believes, what the church really teaches, by opening up the catechism, and we've been doing a general overview of the sacraments. I'll make a couple of comments today before we start into baptism, but then we'll go right into baptism. I'm not going to read everything because some of it's a little verbose, and I think the message could get lost. But before that, we're going to look at the daily Mass reading, some good ones today for Monday of the 15th week in Ordinary Time. I hope you enjoyed the recorded shows that I did at the end of last week. You know, July is a busy month for me. I've got a few more appearances ahead of, where am I heading? Next week I'll be in Somerset, New Jersey, which isn't really too far away, but it's the Catholic Marketing Network trade show, which is really good. Looking forward to that. And right after that, I head to Chicago to speak at another homeschool conference. And then I believe the week after that, this is all on my website, but I'm not sure exactly. The week after that, is that the week? Yes, I'm in Dobbs Ferry, New York, which is another homeschool conference. And then I got a few things in August, including headed down to Birmingham, Alabama, to make a few appearances while I'm there taping a week of episodes with Johnette Benkovic. But I'll give you more information on that as it develops. Just know that I would love to come to your parish, too. If you would like to invite me as a speaker, please visit my website, followingthetruth.com. You can get a list of all the talks that I give, get an idea of some sample video of my presentations, and you can email me. We can set the details up, or you can email me directly at gary@followingthetruth.com. But I always love to travel the country and bring the good news of Christ to wherever I go. You know, it's great when you have a message like that. People need hope. People need hope, and Christ offers hope. Which reminds me, I'm going to be talking about that on the Sunrise Morning Show this week, Wednesday at 6:35 a.m. on Easter on ESPN. Oh, gosh. Oh, I'm losing my mind. On EWTN Radio, the Sunrise Morning Show, on my weekly Let Not Your Heart Be Troubled segment, we're going to talk about hope and how the Bible, God speaking through the Bible, can give us hope. So I hope you'll be able to listen to that. There you go. I hope you'll be. That's a different kind of hope. Beverage du jour today. Here we go. Aha, somebody's saying that sounds like a cup of Mystic Monk coffee. You are correct. It is a cup of Mystic Monk coffee. Vespers decaf, courtesy of my good friends Neil and Cindy, who were kind enough to send me that gift. Delicious stuff. If you want to get yourself some Mystic Monk coffee, you know the deal. Followingthetruth.com, click on the Mystic Monk image, and you'll get the best coffee you have ever experienced in your life. Fantastic coffee. brewed by real monks passionate for fine coffee. Sounds funny saying that, but they really are legitimate, good men who are monks, and they brew some good coffee. Mystic Monk Coffee, available at followingthetruth.com. You ready to pray? All right, let's do this. Let's pray, and then we got to get into all this good stuff that we have on the program today. But it's great to be back in the saddle again. When I don't do the show, I miss it. I miss hanging out with you for these 30 minutes each night where we take a break from the craziness of the world. Isn't it good to be able to just focus on the important things, or the important thing, Christ, the important person? We forget about that. We've got so many other things that we run around trying to deal with. We need time to focus on who really matters, and that's Jesus Christ, because he's the guy we have to be paying attention to, even though it seems like the other stuff is important, and it is. I'm not downplaying problems and difficulties that we have in our lives, but we have to keep our eyes fixed on Christ. Otherwise, we're going to sink, just like Peter did when he tried to walk on the water. Let's pray. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Dear Father in heaven, thank you for giving us another day. We're grateful for the opportunities that you give us, the blessings that you pour forth on us. We ask you, Father, to help us, to strengthen us, to be able to continue to follow you and to share you with others. Please give us the wisdom that we need to stay on the right path. Father, we ask you to bless those who are sick, those who are anxious, those who are lonely, those who are struggling in any way with addiction, with doubt or despair, financial problems, religious persecution, weather-related problems, so many different things. We ask you to bless them and heal them and keep them close to you and be able to experience your peace. Father, we ask you to increase vocations to the religious life, to the priesthood, to the diaconate. We also ask you to accept our own personal intentions and help us with the problems that we face. Help us not to forget you. Help us to remember that everything that happens to us is a gift. And help us to be grateful for that, even if we don't feel it. Help us to be able to consciously say thank you, because we know that that's the way to experiencing peace and happiness. And Father, I ask you to use me this day as you wish on the program. Please speak through me so that your message can be proclaimed on this radio program. We ask for this and all these things in the most holy and sacred name of Jesus Christ, your Son and our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God forever and ever. Amen. And now we turn to our Blessed Mother Mary, as we do every day, and we ask for her help. And together we pray, Hail Mary, full of grace. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Our Lady, Queen of Peace, pray for us. Good Saint Joseph, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, in case you're wondering who I am, if you're a new listener to the program, my name is Gary Zimek. I've been doing this show for over 4 years on Blog Talk Radio. We hang out every Monday through Friday at 8 p.m. Eastern Time. We talk about Jesus and his church. I give you some advice for how to live your life along with the Lord. He's right there with you. The trick is to be able to focus on him. I think that's our biggest problem. But I'm so pleased that you were able to join me on the show today, and it really is a great blessing to be able to do this program. If you have any questions about the show, if you would like to find out more information about the Catholic Church, if you find like to find out how to have a closer relationship with Jesus Christ, if there's anything I can do for you, you can always email me at gary@followingthetruth.com, G-A-R-Y. @followingthetruth.com. All right, let's talk some readings, and then we're going to take a look at baptism. It's just a brief overview at baptism about on baptism, of baptism. What is the word? Brief overview of baptism. That's what I was looking for. You never know that I would make my living by speaking, would you? But today we're going to begin our look at the various individual sacraments. Just, again, a brief overview. But before we do that, I want to do the daily mass readings, because this is how we let the Lord speak to us. And he's got plenty to say today, the Monday of the 15th week in ordinary time. The first reading is from the book of Exodus, chapter 1, beginning in verse 8. So we're switching over. We were doing Genesis. We switch to the second book of the Bible now and read from the book of Exodus. A new king who knew nothing of Joseph came to power in Egypt. He said to his subjects, "Look how numerous and powerful the people of the children of Israel are growing, more so than we ourselves. Come, let us deal shrewdly with them to stop their increase. Otherwise, in time of war, they too may join our enemies to fight against us and so leave our country." Accordingly, taskmasters were set over the children of Israel to oppress them with forced labor. Thus they had to build for Pharaoh the supply cities of Pithom and Ramses. Yet the more they were oppressed, the more they multiplied and spread. The Egyptians then dreaded the children of Israel and reduced them to cruel slavery, making life bitter for them with hard work in mortar and brick and all kinds of field work, the whole cruel fate of slaves. Pharaoh then commanded all his subjects, "Throw into the river every boy that is born to the Hebrews, but you may let all the girls live." Now here we see, remember, Joseph and his brothers and his father, they went down into Egypt. Joseph went there in a display of God's providence. Joseph was sold into slavery. It's one of those things that we look at, doesn't make sense to us. But as a result, Joseph was able to spare the lives of many people, including his fathers and his brother. But you see things change. And eventually, people change. People have free will. People can do bad things. And we start to see Pharaoh resenting the Israelites because they're multiplying too rapidly. Things are going too well. He wants to keep them as slaves. He doesn't want them to be a threat. So he comes up with a plan, an evil plan, to throw into the river every boy that is born to the Hebrews. And we're going to see what happens. Now, and the good thing about this is if you stop the story right here, it's not a happy ending. It doesn't look good. It doesn't look promising. But what will happen is God will call Moses to lead his people, the chosen people, out of slavery in Egypt to the promised land. God is bigger than your problems. You hear me say that a lot, but you really need to believe it. And what God is saying to you in this first reading is whatever you're facing. And listen, I get a lot of emails from people who are struggling, who are dealing with financial disaster, who are dealing with extreme health issues, who are dealing with one problem after another. And I never want to downplay anybody's problem because there are some serious, serious problems out there. And I really sympathize with you, and I don't know just how much you may be suffering. But I will say this, that I can make the statement without doubt, because that's what our faith teaches, without doubt that God is greater than any of your problems. And anything that happens to you, and you take this to the bank because it's true, anything that happens to you is good for you. I don't care if you lose all your money, your family gets wiped out, you're homeless. And I, of course, I'm being extreme here, but you have to believe that somehow that is going to be good for you, or that will benefit you in some way, because otherwise God would not allow it to happen. The downside of not believing that, if you choose to say, "Well, I don't believe that," there's a couple problems with that. Number one, it's not true. So if I say that only the good things in life happened to me by the hand of God, but the other things, I don't want to believe that that is from God. Number one, that's not true. You can believe it if you want, but that's a false belief. Romans 8:28 is an example that reminds us all things work for the good for those who love God. And there are many other instances. We looked at that story of Joseph in Egypt, and Joseph recognized that was God's providence playing out. So number one, you start to think that, well, I'm only going to believe the good things, the pleasant things that happen to me are from God. The first thing I would say is that is not a true statement. So I would not believe that. And number two, you're going to be very discouraged and you're going to become very anxious because you'll start to think that there are some things in life that are beyond God's control. Or there's times that God chooses to turn his back on you and let you suffer needlessly. That is also not true. You need to believe that anything that happens in your life is God's will. and he's going to bring good out of it. Believing that, even though it's a hard thing to believe when you're going through it, believing that will bring you peace because nothing can rattle you. You see where that? See where I'm going with that? Nothing can rattle you if you believe that anything that God allows to happen, including that flat tire, the house fire, the upset stomach, the illness, whatever it is, if God's allowing that to happen, if that is God's will, then you're going to be a lot more peaceful. Now, we're going to do more about this on the show. I found another book that I want to work with on this program, on the Thursday segment, What Does God Want Me to Do? And it's going to have to do with cooperating or surrendering to God's divine providence. In other words, the things that happen to you, learning to accept those. That's going to bring you peace, but it's an excellent book. Not anyone that I've read on the program before, and I ran across it the other day, and I really wanted to be able to share it on the show. So we will eventually move into that when we get some time, because I want you to be at that point. I want you to be at the point where you accept anything that happens to you as coming from the hand of God, because if you do that, you will feel that peace in your life, and you'll stop fighting it. That's the tendency that we have, to fight the bad things and to be frustrated and to be annoyed. And that doesn't mean you can't pray for the sickness to go away, or for you to find a job, or your husband to find a job. Doesn't mean you can't pray for that stuff, but when it doesn't happen, that's the point where you have to say, okay, Lord, you're doing this for a reason. You know best. Either teach me what you want me to learn, or I'm willing to endure it for as long as you need to. And we'll talk about the whole process, but that's what you want to go through. You want to assume that something good is happening, even if it doesn't appear good. Look through the Bible. That's the story of salvation history. And it's most notable at the crucifixion. Look at that. How could that possibly be good? But it was. It resulted in our redemption. We have to be able to see with the eyes of faith, not with our eyes, not with our senses, in order to appreciate God's work in our lives. But this is a good story. We're going to start this tale of Moses and the Israelites in the book of Exodus. It's an excellent story, and it illustrates, even though there were a lot of bumps in the road, it illustrates God's providence. You can't look at one day in your life and base your understanding of God's providential care on that one day. You've got to look at the big picture. You're going to have bumps in the road. You're going to have good things. You're going to have bad things. But they're really all good, even though we can't see them as such. Psalm 124 is the responsorial psalm. Our help is in the name of the Lord. Had not the Lord been with us, let Israel say, had not the Lord been with us, when men rose up against us, then would they have swallowed us alive. When their fury was inflamed against us, then would the waters have overwhelmed us. The torrent would have swept over us. Over us then would have swept the raging waters. Blessed be the Lord, who did not leave us a prey to their teeth. We were rescued like a bird from the fowler's snare. Broken was the snare, and we were freed. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth. Ultimately, you and I have the ability to live forever with God in heaven. Ultimately, we have that ability. Don't ever forget that. No matter how bad things look, that has the possibility of happening. All we have to do is cooperate with the grace he gives us and stay close to him. Ultimately, that's what we are living on this earth for. That's why we were created, to be able to live with God in heaven. Please don't ever forget that. It's a great blessing and a great gift. And our help is in the name of the Lord. The Lord can get us through any potential difficulty in life. And I'm going to keep hammering the message home, because we all have to believe it, including me. You know, we face these troubles every day, and it's hard to remember that. So what do? We have to train our mind to focus on the truth, because our eyes, our senses, they're not perceiving the truth. The truth is that with God, there's nothing to be afraid of. That's the truth. But when we get that unexpected illness or that financial problem, then we start to panic. And that's when we need to train our minds to understand the truth. And the truth is that God's bigger than all of this stuff. Okay, and that requires trust. It's not easy. The gospel is from Matthew chapter 10, verses 34 through Matthew 11, verse 1. Jesus said to his apostles, "Do not think that I have come to bring peace upon the earth. I have come to bring not peace, but the sword. For I have come to set a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And one's enemies will be those in of his household. Whoever loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and whoever loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever does not take up his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. Whoever finds his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. Whoever receives you receives me, and whoever receives me receives the one who sent me. Whoever receives a prophet because he is a prophet will receive a prophet's reward. And whoever receives a righteous man because he is righteous will receive a righteous man's reward. And whoever gives only a cup of cold water to one of those little ones to drink because he is a disciple, amen, I say to you, he will surely not lose his reward." When Jesus finished giving these commandments to his 12 disciples, he went away from that place to teach and preach in their towns. Tough talk from the Lord today, right? This is one of those gospels that can easily turn us upside down. Here's what Jesus is saying. It's not as radical. I mean, it's radical, but it's not what it is, what it appears when you first look at this. Jesus did not come to bring peace. Well, what he's doing is trying to, you know, he used that type of statement, hyperbole, that exaggeration. He used it a lot to get the attention of his listeners. It's a technique. It's called rabbinic hyperbole. And it's an exaggeration. It was used in his time, and he used it. He did a great job with it, because you listen to this and you say, "Whoa, what's going on here?" Jesus, what he was saying here is that we cannot put any creature or anything above the Lord. Normally, that's not a problem. We have family members. As long as we love our family members, and that love and the actions that we do don't go against anything that the Lord may teach, that's fine. That's what we're supposed to be. So we love God through our family members and our friends, whatnot. But if your spouse says to you, "I want you to take me away this weekend, I don't think we need to go to church," and you do it, that's a big problem. If your spouse says to you, "I think we should start using birth control," and you do it, that's a big problem, because you're putting someone else or something else before the Lord. You see what's happening there? You are putting a creature before the Lord. Loving your wife, loving your husband, loving your children, and not violating any teaching of the church, there's nothing wrong with that. That's what we're supposed to do. But the other way is bad. The other side of this statement, the other angle when it comes to this statement, is that when you preach the good news, you will be met with resistance. The prophets were, Jesus was. It's something that we can expect. So, what's the word I'm looking for? Sharing the good news will not necessarily make you very popular, because people don't want to hear the good news because it's difficult. And the message of Christ can divide. Doesn't mean you shouldn't share it. You share it with love. And if people don't like it, that's on them. You'll be rejected. Christ told you that. Don't let it shake your faith, okay? Remember, the Lord's bigger than anything you might face. Do not be afraid. Our goal in this life is to one day live with the Lord in heaven. That's our goal. So everything we should do should be oriented toward that goal. If not, we have a chance of screwing it up and missing our destiny, which is to live in heaven. If we do that, guess where we end up? We end up in hell. That's the only other choice. Purgatory is temporary. Hell is permanent, right? You go to purgatory, you'll eventually get to heaven. But you don't want to aim for that. That's too low. You want to aim for heaven. You are called to be a saint. All right? It's tough. It's tough talk. But with God's grace, it is possible. And we're all in this together. We're going to help one another, right? We pray for each other. You come here, you hang out with me, we talk about this. It is possible. You inspire me, and hopefully I can inspire you. So if you have any questions, please email me at gary@followingthetruth.com. Let's talk about the sacraments. We did an overview of the sacraments last week, and I'm using the Compendium of the Catechism of the Catholic Church. It's a book published by the USCCB, Conference of Catholic Bishops. It's a simplified version of the Catechism. It has a question and answer format. I use it for this show because I think it works nicely. There are some brief comments about the liturgy. You know, oftentimes the church uses some words that can be really confusing, and we use these words, but we might not even be sure what they mean. I just want to say briefly that the liturgy is the public worship of the church directed to God the Father. And there are some questions about it. Who acts in the liturgy? In the liturgy, it is the whole Christ who acts head and body. As our high priest, he celebrates with his body, which is the church, in heaven and on earth. So as we publicly worship the Father, direct our worship to the Father, as members of the church, which is the mystical body of Christ, picture yourself as Christ. We're all, you and me, and every member of the church, is Christ praying to the Father in that ultimate act of worship. So you're not in this alone. There are more things than just the Mass that are called liturgy. And I don't know if it's funny, I don't think they actually define this in here anywhere. The liturgy of the hours. They don't. Liturgy hours is the official prayer of the church. But just know, I wish they defined it, but they don't. The liturgy is the, I wonder if it's in the index. The liturgy is the, well, it's not in here. I'm not going to waste the time, but it's the official public worship of the church. But again, I wish it was defined, but it's not. So let's move on. Let's talk about baptism. We're going to go through the seven sacraments. Today we'll just briefly touch on baptism. How is the Christian initiation brought about? Christian initiation is accomplished by the means of the sacraments, which establish the foundations of the Christian life. The faithful born anew by baptism are strengthened by confirmation and then are nourished by the Eucharist. So baptism is the way we are brought into the church. Starting when and to whom has the church administered baptism? From the day of Pentecost, the church has administered baptism to anyone who believes in Jesus Christ. The essential rite of the sacrament consists in immersing the candidate in water or pouring water over his or her head while invoking the name of the Father and the Son of the Holy Spirit. Who can receive baptism? Every person not yet baptized is able to receive baptism. So you get baptized once. The church recognizes most Christian baptisms as being valid, as long as they use what they call the Trinitarian formula. You're baptized in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. It does not necessarily have to be a Catholic baptism to be recognized as valid. So you're baptized, your original sin is wiped away, and you become a member of the church. Why does the church baptize infants? That's a question we get asked sometimes. Because they are born with original sin, they need to be freed from the power of the evil one and brought into that realm of freedom which belongs to the children of God. Who can baptize? The ordinary ministers of baptism are the bishop and the priest. In the Latin church, the deacon can also baptize. In the case of necessity, and a lot of folks don't know this, any person can baptize, provided he has the intention of doing what the church does. That means pouring water on the head and saying, I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Baptism is such an important sacrament that any person can baptize, even, you ready for this? Someone who is not baptized. Truly incredible. Is baptism necessary for salvation? It is. But there are certain, you know what I'm going to do? I don't want to rush this. I've got less than a minute left. I'm going to continue with this next week. So we're going to say baptism is necessary for salvation and leave it at that. But I will say that this does not mean that all unbaptized people go to hell. It absolutely positively does not mean that. The church does not teach that. All right. So you got a reason to tune back in next Monday night as we continue this series on baptism. The readings went a little bit longer today, but I want to make sure that I don't rush this. Baptism brings us into the church. So if you are baptized, you are brought into the church. That's a great thing. We are just about out of time today. Tomorrow, Imitating Christ. We're going to open the book, The Imitation of Christ by Thomas A. Kempis, and talk about all kinds of good stuff. Hope you have a wonderful night. Thanks for tuning in. God bless you. God love you. And God willing, we're going to see you tomorrow at 8 p.m. right back here. Take care.